Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. Welcome to the No More Desire podcast. I'm Jake Castleman. I'm a recovering addict, just like you, working my sobriety one day at a time. With 8 years of sobriety, and some professional experience working with other addicts and helping them out. So today I want to talk to you about porn cravings. I want to talk to you about where they come from and a solution to overcoming them. I think something that I struggled with for 10 plus years as I was addicted to porn addiction is really understanding why did I have all these cravings? Where did they come from? I was really confused by the messages that were being shared with me from the world and from those around me that said, well, you're just a man, you know, you're craving sex. That's what you want. And that's why you're craving porn. I thought, you know, maybe I'm just really stressed out. Maybe I just need this release. Right. And I couldn't pinpoint or see, you know, I heard about triggers and things like that. Maybe you've heard about those things, but I could never pinpoint my triggers or understand, well, you know, okay, a trigger is like I'm walking down the street and there's a really attractive girl that walks by me and then I get triggered. Right. I'm here to tell you that that's really missing the mark. I mean, that's something that's on a kind of a basic level that can be triggering. But overcoming porn addiction is about far more than that, far, far more than that. So today we're going to talk about a fundamental issue that faces all of us addicts, and I include myself in this, and how to work through that issue, how to get to an underlying issue that we face that causes our addiction cravings. That could be to porn, to drugs, whatever it might be. But it causes our addiction cravings. And before I get started talking about that, I want to first clarify in the very beginning, nothing that I'm about to talk about or say is meant to make you feel bad or ashamed or to get your defenses up, all right? I'm here talking again as a fellow recovering addict, just like you, working my sobriety one day at a time. I have some years under my belt, but that doesn't make me any better than you. It just means that I have some experience to help other people out. Right, and I've been able to help some other people and do a lot of good for them. So that's all I'm here to do is to help. So with that being said, what we're going to talk about today is how porn addiction is linked with self-centeredness, or any addiction for that matter is linked with self-centeredness. And again, before you say, well, gosh, I'm not a selfish person, let me clarify, you are not a selfish person. Okay, I truly believe that deep down, no one is a selfish person. I think naturally we're all generous, all giving, all good and loving. Okay, but there are a lot of things that can get in the way of that, which is what we're going to be talking about today at length. So a recovery mindset, right, is all about embracing a way of thinking, right? In order to overcome porn addiction, one of the greatest tips to overcome porn addiction that I can give you is to be aware of your thoughts. Okay, be aware of your weaknesses, your insecurities, the stress that you are experiencing every single day. As long as we're focused on ourselves, right? As long as we're self-centered, we will be torn up by or find issue with weaknesses, insecurities, worries, fears, anxieties, all of these things that cause us stress. And then because of that mental and emotional stress, we then want to cope through addiction. And that's the basic process, right? We feel stress because of thoughts, beliefs, certain things that happen in our lives, but more so the way that we perceive those things. And then we seek to cope with that stress in a destructive way, such as through drugs or alcohol or porn or whatever it might be, right? And all of us humans do this. Every single one of us has a way that we cope with stress. It may be destructive or it may be productive. right? It just depends what it is for us. So something that I've been giving a lot of thought to over the years of recovery and right now currently in my daily life is how my self-centeredness is actually behind the stress that I suffer in life and therefore behind my addiction cravings, right? And that for me at this point, that could be for a lot of things. It could be for food, right? Maybe I'm like, man, I just really got to eat this thing that sounds delicious right now. When in reality, I don't actually need that thing. I'm just trying to mask or cover my emotions with that delicious food, right? A lot of us do this. So addiction can only thrive in an environment of self-centeredness, right? And for me, if I can start to place my focus on other people, the people around me, I find that I face less stress and I find that I have less cravings. Again, for whatever it might be, to escape my current situation, to watch a TV show, to eat some food, right? Or even for sex or porn or things like that, right? Again, I've been sober for 8 years, but it's worked one day at a time. You always got to be aware that you have those weaknesses and susceptibilities. And so, again, I teach people how to manage those, overcome them, and my life is far better now than it once was, and I teach others how to do that. So overcoming addiction is all about changing that focus, okay? And in order to change that focus, how do we really do that, right? How do we change that focus? How are we building new habits? Because it sounds easy enough, okay, I just need to be more self-centered, I got to focus on other people more. But I think anyone listening to this right now, if you struggle with an addiction or if you're a human being, you know that it's not quite that simple. I think in some ways it would be that simple if we could simply let go, surrender, and accept anything and everything that life brings to us. It would be that simple to just serve and go about doing good, right? But for many of us, we there's a lot of obstacles in the way, right? And so for me, one of the biggest things that I've done in my life and that I help other people do is to start to recognize their negative emotions and all of their emotions and to stop resisting those emotions, resisting those thoughts or perceptions, and to start accepting them for what they are. And that doesn't at all mean saying, okay, I'm angry right now, I deserve to be angry, or I'm entitled to this feeling. Instead, this mode of acceptance or surrender is to say, okay, I feel anger right now. That's okay. I don't need to justify it. I don't need to rationalize why I feel anger or blame it on someone else or go to a place of self-pity or victimization. I simply accept I feel anger right now. And doing that helps us to start to move out of self-centeredness, right? If we can start to accept our negative and hard emotions, we begin to move out of that self-centeredness. And something that I've found in my life, right, as someone who struggles with perfectionism, which I see in so many addicts that I work with, perfectionism is all about expectations. Just as things like anger or defensiveness or pride or shame, which is the belief I'm not good enough, have to do with expectations. And these expectations that we place on ourselves turn us inward. They turn us toward our own needs, our own wants, our own worries and concerns, rather than us being able to go to our natural spiritual state, I believe, which is, again, a place of generosity, a place of love. It turns us inward and brings us into the addict mind or the ego or the natural mind, natural man, however you want to put it. Okay, these expectations, these pressures that we put on ourselves bring us there. And that's, I believe, why Jesus Christ said, consider the lilies of the field, right? If you know that scripture, consider the lilies of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin, right? If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Christ taught us to not be anxious about tomorrow, to live right now and focus on the present moment and just be here in this moment with the person that we're with, right? Don't focus on yourself. You can't even add one cubit to your stature. You can't add one inch to your physical body. There is nothing that you are going to do to control the outcomes of so many things. So stop worrying and let God, let Jesus Christ work within your life. Let Christ's grace and guidance come upon you and guide everything you do. And if we do that, I think we can start to more enter into this space of others-centeredness or focus upon others around us rather than self-centeredness. Because again, what I have constantly forgotten, and I still forget sometimes, is when I face stress, when I face worries, when I face cravings for whatever it might be, it's always because I'm focusing on myself, right? And again, that's not to make you feel bad. It's just a sign that you have something to learn. That's what we're here in life to do. We're here to learn. We're here to progress. And so when I feel negative emotions, it's a sign to me, okay, I obviously have something to learn here. There's something that I haven't been able to let go of, something I'm not surrendering to and accepting, a way I'm not turning my will and my life over to God and to Jesus Christ. It's not a reason to feel bad or ashamed, right? Because again, I mean, if you think about it, what are some of the thoughts that come into your head when you might hear me say, be less self-centered and you'll overcome your porn addiction? Well, you think, well, you might go to a place of pride. I'm not a selfish person, right? I get that. Pride is a big thing for me too. Or you might go to a place of shame. Two sides of the same coin in my mind. That shame tells you, oh, you're right. I should be less self-centered. Right? This perfectionism, I get this. Okay, I should be less self-centered. I should think of other people more. Man, why am I so selfish? And the amazing thing there is that that is going straight to a self-centered perspective again. And then you might hear me say that and you're like, oh man, you're right. Why am I so selfish, right? But that's not the point. That's the thing is it's habits. It's just some learning and progression that we have to do and to make. That's all it is, just a sign for our learning. It doesn't need to be stigmatized, be negative or positive. It's just, okay, if I feel cravings, it's because of self-centeredness. How can I get out of that and into a mode of focusing on other people? So I'm actually going to tell you more about that in just a minute here. But first, I always hate bringing this up, but it's necessary. Please like, rate, follow this podcast. Okay, it helps me out. It helps me reach more people. So I want to ask you to do that right now, so you can get new videos, new episodes, new podcast episodes each week. And then also the other big thing that I have to tell you right now, that you've got to go to nomoredesire.com and download my free ebook. It's literally 80 pages of stuff I've worked on for over a decade that I've put all together in one ebook. It talks about the 7 causes of porn addiction and the 7 solutions for recovery. Okay, that's free. It's there for you. I made it literally so that it could just help you out. Go on there, put in your email. I'll shoot it straight out to you. So let's get back to it. Again, that's nomoredesire.com, just to clarify. Let's get back to it now. So how do we start to focus more on others rather than ourselves, right? This, and there's a lot to this, right? Because to an extent, the first thing I want to talk about is just, it's purely about making it a habit, right? There's no way around that, right? That, okay, I focus too much on myself. I need to focus more on others. Again, not from a shame space, not from a, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. Just, okay, what does this other person who's with me right now need? How is it that I can help them, right? And turning to an outside focus upon that person. And something you can do to help with that, perhaps something that I'm doing right now that's helping me, is to set a reminder in my phone each morning, place your focus on the good of others. And what I say is, just for today, I'm going to forget myself and serve others. And I say, God, help me do this. And I just focus on that. Just for a little while, just for, 20, 30 seconds, help me do this today, God. And if I'm sincere about that, I find that can help. And then setting my intention, setting your intention every time you go to spend time with other people before you get there. And I do this all the time with so many things in my life. I say a little prayer. It doesn't have to be more than 10 seconds. Lord, when I show up today, guide me to one person I can help. Guide me to one person I can say something to that will be beneficial to them, or to connect with someone who can help me. Guide me to this person. All right, just setting that intention and then allowing that to flow through you. Allow it to flow through you, right? Because one of the things I've struggled with so much in my life, with the perfectionism and the anxiety, is when I say that, who can I help? Who can I look after? What good can I do today? The whole time I'm there with those people. Oh, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. And that's a lot of anxiety. And that actually gets, again, it's self-centered again, because it's, what can I do? What, how can I help? And it's really putting the focus on me. And sometimes that's where it needs to start, right? And again, it's okay if that's how it works for you sometimes. You're not going to be perfect. That's the point. We're all here learning. But instead it's saying, okay, Lord, I want to help someone. If it's your will, I'd love to do something good for someone else. And then just say, I want the other people around me to feel welcome. Help the other people around me to feel welcome, to feel accepted. All right, and then just go and just be in that moment. Just be in that moment and allow God's Spirit to work through you. And something that helps me so much, I go on prayer walks in the morning. I find that walking and praying helps me focus because I've got my body moving. I can kind of just look out at the sky, stay present, and enjoy that moment. And my mind can work a little better. So what I've been practicing in my life, and what I'm teaching some other people to do as well, is to transfer the focus of your prayers to be upon the good of other people. Because the thing is, when it comes to prayer, I believe that faith is such an important aspect of prayer. I think, again, if you're Christian or if you pray, you know that. And faith is such a broad concept. It's such an abstract kind of concept. But when you pray, if you want to focus more on others rather than yourself, then pray for others. And you don't have to pray for bless this person with that, bless this person with that, this, that. You could say, Lord, I want other people around me to feel accepted. I want other people around me to feel loved. Or I want other people around me to have fun, to connect easily. I want them to laugh and experience humor. I want other people around me to feel kindness when I'm with them. So you're praying for all these things, for God to help you do some things for other people, but you're placing that focus on those around you. So you're going straight to the root, which is, I want to focus on other people, so I'm going to focus on them. I'm not going to ask God, give me this, give me that, so I can do this for the other person, so I can be kind, so I can be loving or help other people laugh or help them feel accepted or be charitable. It's help those around me feel charity when I'm with them. And in saying that, it's training your mind to habitually focus on others, and it's bringing God's grace and guidance, Christ's grace into your life to help you do that. So that can be really, really helpful. And then the other thing I want to mention here that is what we've kind of already talked about, be open about your weaknesses with other people. Okay, we all have way too much perfectionism and critical thoughts that we think about ourselves and about other people, which the critical thoughts we think about other people are really only a reflection of the critical thoughts we think about ourselves. We have enough of that. And so if we can be open about those weaknesses, if we can practice when we're with other people, being open about weaknesses, not from a place of self-pity or, again, a place of self-centeredness or victimhood, but simply from a place of maybe poking fun at something that we've done that's an insecurity or a thought that we have about something we're insecure about, and just laughing about it and just saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, I feel nervous right now that no one likes me here. That might be a little extreme, but that type of idea, right? I feel, you know, I feel anxious right now about this, or we say something and we're like, that was the dumbest thing to say ever, wasn't it? You know, whatever it might be, being comfortable with that, being open about the real thoughts and feelings that you have instead of masking them and covering over them and saying, I'm not insecure. I'm confident all the time. I'm good, you know. Be real about it. If you feel embarrassed or you feel anxious or things like that, yeah, you know, I'm feeling a little anxious right now. That's okay. You know, I'm dealing with this or that, and I kind of, you know, I feel some trepidation about this interview today, or I feel trepidation about going to this social activity because I'm worried about, you know, what people might think about me, or, you know, whatever it might be. And being open about that can really help us feel more secure, more at ease, more peace, because we're being open instead of closed. Being closed equals anxiety. It equals depression. It equals insecurity. It equals shame and fear, right? And I'm not saying there aren't other things to those feelings or to anxiety or depression. There are physical aspects, genetic aspects that some of us deal with. But it's very important that we do that. We be open about our weaknesses, right? And stop feeling like you need to be perfect around other people, right? If we can be open and just laugh. Just laugh about it. Laugh about the stuff you're insecure about. And I'm still working on that. I'm still working on that all the time. So again, I hope that this information today has helped you. Please like, follow, rate this podcast. It helps me reach other people. I feel like a broken record, but it helps me reach them. So please like, rate, follow. And head to nomoredesire.com to get my free ebook that has the 7 causes and 7 solutions for porn addiction. It is over a decade of research and both professional and personal experience that I have had with porn addiction in helping myself and other people. So please go to nomoredesire.com to download that ebook. I'd love to hear about your experience that you have with it. God bless and much love, my friend. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.